Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Paper Toy Radio. This is episode number 19 and is airing on January 21st, 2012. I still need to think about that. It's a new year. Concentrate on what year it is. Okay, my name is Erin Lincoln, and I am your radio hostess. Now, some of you may have noticed on the boards that this indeed is our last radio podcast for Paper Toy Radio. It's been a year. It's been fun, but it's time. It's time to put it aside, and I hope you enjoy what is our last episode. I have Sandy Alnack on our interview phone. She is the president and founder of Operation Right Home, and I talked to her, and let me tell you, I am fully on board. I am sending my cards to her. It's just a great organization, and she does a lot of good and brings a lot of happiness to a lot of people. So why wouldn't you want to be a part of that? So you want to hang out and hear that. But right now we're going to have our discussion topic. You called in since December was our last episode, and you let me know what your New Year's resolutions are. Now it's January 21st, so hopefully you're still at it. It's not too early to make some new ones anyway. It's still January, so it still counts. So here's what you had to say about your paper crafting resolutions.
Hi, Erin. My name is Marta, and I am calling from Puerto Rico, a beautiful island in the Caribbean. In response to your question about New Year paper crafting resolutions, mine is to complete at least 2 cards every week. And this might sound weird to all of you avid scrapbookers and paper crafters, but the reality is that I spend a lot of time in the internet, browsing projects, reading blogs, but when it's my time to execute, my time is over and I leave the room and don't do anything. So I really, really, really want to accomplish my resolution this year, and I just started with the Make It Monday for this week, doing my cards. So I wish all of you a very, very happy new year, and continue listening your podcast, which I really enjoy a lot. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Terry from Coal City. I am calling about my paper crafting resolution for 2012. My biggest one is I am committing to sending out birthday cards for my work and my family and friends through the whole year. Now, I make this resolution, or I have made it in the past, and I'll get all the way through, like, I don't know, September, October, and then those last 2 months I get so consumed with the holidays that I don't get the poor people in November and December done. So I think that they think that they're unloved, which is certainly not the case. I just get consumed. So this year, what I'm doing differently is I am starting, I have a few cards in a stash. So I've got January, a few more birthday cards, and then I'm going to work on November and December's now when I'm all charged up so that those 2 months are already done. That's my game plan anyway. So that's my big resolution. I already have a plan to accomplish it, so I'm hoping this will be my year that it happens. So have a great day. I cannot wait to hear everyone's questions. Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Kathy McCloskey calling, known as BD Lake Bum, on the Paper Tray, Inc. forum, and I'm calling in with my paper crafting resolutions for 2012, and I've got a few of them. My first one is to use more pattern paper when designing my cards. Next, don't be so critical of myself. It's only paper. Next is build up a stash of usable cards so I'm not always rushing to make one appropriate for the occasion. And my fourth one is participate in more challenges to broaden my style. Thanks very much, and I enjoy your Paper Tray Radio podcasts. Have a great day. Bye.
Hi, Erin. This is Judy from Virginia. I'm calling to answer your question about paper crafting resolutions for the new year. I have 3 resolutions for the new year. My first and most important probably one is to make more time for crafting. I find that I always am strict with myself about getting all of my chores done with the hopes that I will then have time for crafting, and then other things come up and I don't get that time. And it's such a lift to me when I do, and so important to me that I want it to be higher on my list for the upcoming year. My second resolution is to use more of what I have And it's always tempting to want to get the new goodies, but I also feel like I will feel better if I make more use of what I have. And along with that, I'm going to start donating or selling. I'm planning on opening an Etsy shop to sell what I don't use, so that that will free me up to get new things when I want it, and also make me feel like I am able to use what I have. So those are my resolutions. Thank you very much. I really enjoy Paper Tray Radio.
Hi, my name is Sherry Danielson, and I'm calling in response to your January question about New Year's resolutions. My New Year's resolution is going to be that I use what I buy or use what I already have. I have so many sets that I have yet to see ink because I keep buying the new ones, and I haven't had time to use the old ones yet or the last month yet. And we are retiring this year, and so I'm going to have to start making more use of what I already have and use them in different ways. So I know it's a short answer, but that's my answer. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks for calling in, ladies. Hopefully you're still at it with your New Year's resolutions. Now, I usually don't make them because I usually give up pretty early, and I know that about myself. But this year, aside from trying to eat more salad, which I was really good at for about a week and a half, and that's gone downhill since then. I love my buttered noodles for lunch. I can't help it. Paper crafting, I've just decided recently, and this is just not a New Year's resolution, just to try to use the cards I make more. I make a lot of cards for Paper Tray. Often they go in the box, and when I do have an event or something I need to make a card for, or, you know, have a card for, not necessarily make it, because making is all in our head. I mean, we don't have to make anything. We choose to. I stress myself out by trying to make something completely from scratch, like the day before a birthday or whatever. And I've been trying and actually doing very well. It's just pulling out of my boxes. I'm kind of messed up in the head thinking that it has to be completely tailored and specific to each individual person. And it doesn't. I mean, a happy birthday card could work for anybody. It doesn't have to be in so-and-so's favorite colors with something I know they like. I'm trying to let go of those personal expectations of myself. And I'm sure you all know what I'm talking about because it kind of goes with the territory. All right, moving on. I have a very special guest on the phone today, Sandy Alnock. Now, you guys have all heard about Operation Right Home. Sandy was the founder, and she's the president, so she's here to talk about it. Hey, Sandy, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you tonight?
I'm great. Now, Sandy lives in a town I used to live in, Central Way, Washington, which is small world, totally small world, because I'm a little town of... So I'm excited to talk to you. Can you tell me a little bit about Operation Right Home? Because, honestly, I don't know a lot about it. It's almost shameful that I don't. So fill me in.
I would be happy to. Operation Right Home is a nonprofit organization that sends blank handmade cards to deployed troops so that they can write home to their families because they don't have a Hallmark store down the street from them, and this helps to keep them in touch with their families at home. And we also send in each one of the boxes a packet of letters from home with messages of thanks and encouragement, and they get handed out to everybody over there as well. So we kind of do a double whammy and giving them some way to get in touch with home, as well as hearing news from the home front.
So where do you get all the cards that you send?
The cards are all handmade by crafters all across the country, and in this past year, we've had 9 other nations where we've had cards sent to us from as well. So it's people around the world who make the blank cards. They send them to our 3 regional shipper locations, and then the volunteer shippers process all the cards. Mm-hmm. They check them to make sure nothing falls off of them and that they're all appropriate for our heroes, and they package them back up and send them out to contacts. And the contacts overseas share the box with everyone around them. So depending on what the size of their unit is, they might get a smaller box or a bigger box and that sort of thing.
So what is the reaction to all the troops overseas getting these wonderful boxes of handmade cards to send home?
Oh, they are so excited and so grateful. We have a whole hero blog full of letters from them. Everything from a simple thank you, and then we get stories from them about what the cards mean to them and their families. There was one story that really touched my heart. It was a mom who had sent a bunch of cards to her children who were staying with her mother, so they were living with grandma, and they're in the Midwest, and there was a tornado warning, and the children wanted to take something into the basement with them during the tornado warning, and they grabbed their little princess dresses and their box of cards from mom. And that just showed me the importance to the families back home for having something in their hands from their deployed service member that they can read over and over and over again. And it's not like a phone call that fades with time or an email that's just text on a page, but it's actually in their handwriting and means so very much to the families at home, the friends, and all the supporters they have back at home.
You know, I'm a total sap. I cry at Hallmark commercials, and that story about the tornadoes is just tearing me up. It's horrible. I am such a sapper with stories like that. That's so special. So your goal for January, if you listeners out there are listening, their website is operationwrighthome.org, O-R-G. You can go and check it out. And their goal for January is, get this, it is a staggering number, 34,000 homemade cards. Do you ever meet your goal, Sandy? That's huge.
Well, the news media has been reporting the troops coming home from Iraq. And a lot of people, I'm not sure if it's a geographical issue or just they don't understand current affairs, that the troops are still in Afghanistan. We still have many, many thousands in Afghanistan. We don't have any less contacts now than we did before the end of hostilities in Iraq. So we still need a lot of cards, but I think a lot of folks have stopped because they think we're done now. So I'm trying to get the word out to a lot more people so that we can keep up with the contacts that we have. Each one of our shippers in the three locations, we have one in Washington, one in Kansas, and one in North Carolina, and each one keeps up with 60 to 75 somewhere in their units, and so we restock each unit every 6 weeks or thereabouts as we have enough cards to do so. And we have more on our waiting list, so any of your listeners who want to jump in and help us meet this goal and keep up with our heroes' needs, we would love to have your participation.
Yes, please send some cards, and I know you all like to stamp, use your new sets, even your old sets. I've seen a lot of things on the forums lately about not using your old sets. Now's the perfect time to break them out and make some cards for Operation Right Home. So, Sandy, how did you get started with all this? This is a huge production.
Yeah, if somebody had told me years ago that this was going to be the size that it is now, I probably would have said, heck no, and would not have started. I was on a forum on the web, and we were talking amongst a bunch of us. We had been participating in a bunch of challenges during that time frame and realized how many cards we had sitting on our desktops. We didn't have enough people to send them to. And at the same time, I also heard a story on the radio from a woman in Texas who had sent 1,000 cards to her son's unit in Iraq. And I thought, well, heck, we could do that between us. I'm sure we have 1,000 cards sitting in boxes around our house waiting for some reason to send them to someone. And so I posted a message. A lot of people replied. And we had a soldier who was working on the board and just looking at all the pictures. And she was a stamper, obviously, and just kind of getting her own creative inspiration going while she was serving in Baghdad. And so she said, please send them to me. I'd be happy to. And after 3 boxes went to her, she said, go find someone else. I can't take this many. So we had to find another service member. And then that meant more cards. And then more cards meant we needed another service member. And it's just grown exponentially back and forth ever since then. Last spring, we hit 1 million cards, which was an amazing landmark for us, and now we're working on 1.5 million cards.
Oh, since when? Holy moly.
Yeah, 2007. Spring of 2007 was when we started.
So, spring, almost 5 years, and you're hit 1.5 million cards. Almost.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 250,000 a year. People are sending you homemade cards to send that's great, everyone who's mailing those in. That's so inspiring. In fact, I have all my paper trading projects for the last couple months just in front of my computer, and like we've been talking, and I've been sorting them. I'm like, this one can go, I'll send this one. So expect some from me. I'm completely on board. This is great. I have somewhere to send these all now.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about behind the scenes. It must take a lot of work, and you all have full-time jobs, right? You do this in your off time, you volunteer. How does this work?
Well, I'm the president and founder, and I'm the one with the full-time job. The other two who are our volunteer shippers full-time, they do not have jobs. They're stay-at-home folks, and so at least the load is a little easier on them. However, they do work very, very hard. With each box that comes in, we check every single card to make sure it's going to stay together. So we check adhesive to make sure it's not going to fall apart. These are going to the desert and back, so they need to be pretty sturdy. Mm-hmm. We take out anything that has glitter can't go, because if one of our service members gets glitter on their uniform, that will make them visible to night vision goggles, and we don't want to endanger them at all.
See, with things that you don't think about. Now, do you repair cards that get sent to you and, you know, there's a little something fall off? Does that get repaired, or does it just get set aside?
We attempt to repair everything we can. During really busy seasons, we're not able to, and those do get set aside for tackling those whenever we get time to do it. And, so the cards all come in to us. We sort them by theme so that each box gets a certain number of love cards, a certain number of thinking of you, thank you, birthday, and then whatever the holiday is. So we have a whole list on our website of all the guidelines for the cards, as well as deadlines for them and what kinds of themes we specifically look for.
I noticed that there was a list of themes that you don't need, and actually one struck me as really funny because it could be quite humorous. Getting a card from a serviceman in Iraq, and you don't want "wish you were here" cards. I think that would be a riot. I think that would be so funny.
In some cases, those could be taken as funny. There are some where we get some Halloween cards with sentiments that, when you send them to someone at home, might be perfectly appropriate. But
right.
If that card is received by someone after the passing of one of our service members, if they sent that home and then someone gets the really scary Halloween card with a skull on it after getting bad news, we just don't want to even go down that road. So we do the same with the wish you were here types of cards, because those could be received in a bad context. So we just try to keep in mind what these cards carry. They carry the importance of the very life of this person who they love, and we want to make sure that we protect them from just kind of oddball sentiments that could really hurt them at some point. So,
all these things you have to think about, like the glitter, and it's just a whole different level. So what's the biggest donation of cards to date from one single person?
Typically, it doesn't come from one single person. We have a lot of stamp groups that will send large quantities together, and they'll send, you know, a flat rate box full of cards. And we've had a few who save up cards for a while, or they have the whole stash that's in their house, and they go through them and sort through them and, you know, pull out the ones that are appropriate for Operation Right Home, and they'll send in several flat rate boxes at a time. So we're more interested in the quality of the cards than the quantity, even though we have that 34,000 number in front of us. Because what we find is when people start panicking about the quality, or panicking about the quantity, they drop the quality. And they won't take their time to adhere things or do nice layers or, you know, embellish nicely or stamp nicely. And we just want to encourage doing really nice cards. The more people we have involved, the easier it is on everybody, because we can do smaller quantities but do really nice cards.
Right, exactly. Now, how do people get involved?
Well, you can start by going to the website. There's lots and lots of information there, especially in the mailroom for new folks. There's guidelines for the cards, reminders about glitter and various products that you can and can't use, different themes. Quantities for cards can be anything. It can be a small packet. It can be a large box, whatever works for you. And lots of information there. There's inspiration on our blog. We have a Stars and Stamps creative blog, and that has every week we have a sketch that goes up. We have a tutorial. We have a midweek challenge, and then we have random things throughout the rest of the week as well. Just lots of things to encourage all of us to keep on making cards, and we learn a lot that way as well from each other, which is fantastic.
Now, you have lots of other neat things going on at your website. You have challenges and videos, and I think you had a webisode. Tell me a little bit about what else goes along. And I imagine there's a sense of community now that has surfaced from all of this.
Absolutely. We call ourselves the OWH family. It's much more of a family than it is just a group of random people. Our Facebook page is full of people who know each other really well by now. I've been amazed to see the connections made between people. They'll see somebody from their area and friend them, and then they can go make cards together, or they're just online friends, and they talk back and forth. And one of the ways a lot of people have gotten to know each other has been by watching our webcast each week. We have Operation Right Home TV every Thursday night at 6:30 Pacific time. And it's a half-hour show, and there's a chat in the sidebar, so you can talk to other people live during the show. And lots of people are getting to know each other in that way as they talk through things, and it's interactive. So I'll ask questions and invite participation from the people who are watching. One of the segments that we've come up with for the show is kind of funny. It's always a potential train wreck. They call it the Stump Sandy segment. And people have sent in random pieces of pattern paper, and they're in sealed envelopes, so I open them on the show, and I open three of them, and I have them all numbered, so the people in the audience shout out numbers. I have to, you know, pick one of those and make a card using all three pieces of paper on one card in, like, 10 minutes. And we've had some that have been serious train wrecks, and then others that have come out really cute, so... It's just kind
so
of
you have
an
to have
exercise,
a sense
yeah.
of humor to do that every week. That's
indeed.
Fun.
It
like
is.
That
it's,
idea.
It's a blast. We're trying to see if we can get a group together to start doing this kind of thing on an ongoing basis. Get more people doing Stump Sandies for themselves, and it's for a lot of folks. It's even practicing that exercise for themselves at home shakes the mojo loose.
Yeah.
Sometimes
exactly.
you just you force yourself to just start with something. And if you start with something that's really random, and then you have to really think through why you put things together the way you do. And I'm a graphic designer professionally, so I'm able to talk through design and color issues with people and why I'm putting certain things on the card together to try to make them match a little bit, at least. So it's a lot of fun, a lot of great ways to learn about the project, to learn more about making cards. And so many people have said they've learned a ton from our website and our webcast. So I'm really excited about that. I love passing on knowledge to people and inspiring their creativity.
That's great. Now, everybody knows this is the last Paper Tray Ink radio episode. So everybody head over to Sandy's every Wednesday night. Is that right? Wednesday or Thursday night?
Thursday night at 6:30 p.m.
Pacific time, right?
Yes, Pacific.
Okay, so head over there and you'll get your entertainment there since, you know, I'm now off the air after this episode. We've done this for a year, so we've run our course, but I'm really happy for you, and you have made a believer in me. I literally have a stack of cards, and they are coming your way. Do I need to get envelopes for them? Do they need to come with envelopes?
If the cards come with envelopes, it's a huge help to us. We tuck each card into the envelope before they get sent in the boxes, because we've been told sometimes the box gets turned upside down on a table, and we want to make sure an envelope stays with each card as they hand them out, or they'll take a handful and they'll give it to each guy at the hospital. So we tuck the back of the card into the envelope and leave the front hanging out so they can see the card and know what design it is. And if the donors don't put them in the envelopes, then we have to do that as shippers. And so it saves us a ton of time to be able to do that. If you go to the donate page, donate/shop page on our website, you'll find a link to Heinrich Envelopes. They give us a discount. So as an OWHer, you can have a discount on envelopes.
Now, so. I imagine mailing this number of cards, you send them to an APO address, is that right, when they go overseas? My brother is in the Navy, I should know this.
But yes, it's an APO address.
That should be crazy. Now, do you take donations to help you ship?
Yes, we do. We can take PayPal donations, or if you want to send in a check, or some people will send in just a few dollars with their card package.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody does just a little bit, it makes a huge difference, and we've done really, really well in keeping up with the amount of cards that we send out. So it's been fantastic, the support that we've gotten from so many different places.
Yeah, I mean, ladies, skip your morning latte and put that money in the envelope. You can, one day we can go without our lattes. Send Sandy your money for shipping. Sandy, thank you so much. I am totally on board. Now I have somewhere to put all my projects that I do every month for Paper Tray. I'm sending them to you. They're yours.
That's awesome. Oh, I'm so excited. So excited. Glad to have a new members to the family.
Absolutely. I'm in. Thanks for talking to me.
Great.
I hope everyone out there listening is inspired to support Sandy and Operation Ride Home. It's a wonderful organization, and they do a lot of good. So thanks. We'll talk to you later, Sandy.
Thanks so much, Erin. Bye-bye.
Bye. Now it's time for my favorite part of the radio broadcast, and that's our question and answer period. You've called in. You've helped me out. You've asked questions of our design team members, Jen and Nicole, and I forwarded your questions to them, and we have some really great answers. So let's just go ahead, take it to the phones, and see what we learned today.
Hello, this is Joyce from San Diego. I'm Rach and Sarah's mom on the forum, and I'm calling in with a question for any of the designers. My question is this. If you had a whole day all to yourself with no responsibilities and no deadlines and no projects you had to do, but you wanted to get crafty, I'm wondering how you would spend your day, what you would do, and what you would make. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, this is Jessica Witte. I love this question because when I'm not working on paper tray projects or other paper crafty projects, I really like to do crafty things outside of my workspace that are not paper related. So whenever I have a free day to do something like that, I tend to take on bigger projects. My dad is a carpenter, so my husband and I have done a lot of carpentry type projects together. We've made a beautiful queen size bed out of an old set of doors. So it was a headboard and footboard now. We've taken an old cabinet from an old dime store and made shelves for the inside and kind of refinished the outside, and that used to serve as our dresser, and now it serves as our kitchen island. So we do a lot of bigger projects. My current project coming up this weekend will be, I have an old 3-foot by 4-foot antique frame that I'm going to be refinishing. Probably painting a fun color, and then I'm going to be putting a chalkboard on the inside for our kitchen. And I do take on some smaller projects once in a while, especially when I have a lot of free time in the car. We just took a long trip over Christmas, so while I was in the car, I made some wire wrap jewelry, a little bird's nest pendant for myself for Christmas. And that was a fun new thing that I've never tried before. I've never tried my hand at wire with jewelry. So I definitely like to mix it up, and I feel like it adds to my creativity to do other things besides just paper, so that when I come back to paper, I feel like I'm fresh again and I have some new ideas and a different perspective from working with other materials. So great question. Thanks for asking.
Hi, this is Melissa Phillips, calling in regards to the question by Sarah's mom. I know exactly what I would do if I had a whole day to myself without responsibilities of any sort. It would be something that I love to do but don't always have time to do, and that would be making a mini album or a few layouts, just anything with pictures of my little girl. I seem to enjoy those things the most, but they are a lot more time-consuming, and I always seem to, you know, put them to the side and save them for a time when I have time to really focus on them. So that would be such a fun day for me, is just to bust out the pictures and all the things I love, and just to spend a whole day looking at her face and getting crafty while I was doing it. Anyway, I hope that helps a little bit. Thanks for your question, and we'll see you later. Bye.
Hi, this is Sherry from New Jersey. We're winding up the year. Just wondering, a question for the designers. What is their favorite trend, crafting trend of 2011, and what was their worst? Would love to hear their thoughts. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Hi, Sherry. This is Dawn McVeigh to answer your question about favorite crafting trends of 2011. I think my favorite trend would probably have to be misting. Using spray mists on projects has become really popular in the last year or so. Whether you're spritzing the spray onto your project or just adding splatters of the mist directly to whatever you're working on, it's a fun trend and definitely one that I've enjoyed experimenting with in 2011. Hope that answers your question. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, this is Lisa Johnson, and I'm answering a question in regards to favorite and least favorite trends of 2011. And I would have to say, to be all honest with you, that my least favorite is the mustache trend. And the reason why is I just kind of don't get it yet. Maybe it'll grow on me, and maybe I'll find some kind of opportunity to utilize mustaches in my design work. But at this point, I haven't found anything in the crafting world that's mustachey that's hit my fancy. I would say that my favorite trend in 2011 is the incorporation of the many shades of gray. Oh, my goodness, I've just fallen in love with gray, which I would have never thought I would have done ever. It seems like the different shades have saturated the design world. And Etsy and the various design color boards that are out there have just been in awe. And they're being combined so beautifully with every imaginable color out there, just different tones depending on how much black or brown is incorporated into the gray. It's just absolutely been a gorgeous trend and has added some softness to projects that has been unexpected. And that softness tends to draw my eye in versus black, which kind of pops out at you. So I've just kind of fallen in love with gray. Thanks for the question. Have a great day.
Okay, that about wraps it up for us. One final piece of business, picking a winner from today's participants. We have 7 participants. I assign them each a number. I plug it into random.org, and it spits me out the winner, and that is Sherry, number 7. So, Sherry, contact customer service via email on the website and let them know what stamp set we can send out your way. I hope it's one off your wish list. Everybody else, can I just say thank you for helping me out the last year and calling in and participating and being a part of it. I really appreciate it, and I feel like I really know some of you now on the message boards. Of course, I'm still around. I'm still on the design team. I still do other work on the side for Paper Tray, so I'm not going anywhere. We're just moving on. There's a lot to do and a lot of fun stuff coming up with the anniversary. Not that I know anything. I know nothing, so nobody ask me. Okay, for the last time, I'll catch you later. I'll see you on the boards, and thanks for being a supporter for the last year for Paper Tray Radio.